Juz 16. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. I begin in the name of Allah, compassionate to all, merciful to each. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the 16th episode in this podcast series titled Journeying Our Eyes Through the Quran, Exploring 30 Juz in 30 Days. Today, inshallah, we will continue our journey through the pages of the Quran as we take a brief look into the 16th Juz of the Quran, which consists of the last 36 verses of Surah Al-Kahf, the entirety of all 98 verses of Chapter 19, Surah Maryam, and the entirety of Surah Taha, which is 135 verses long. Yet again, all of these surahs are Meccan. In the previous episode, we discussed dua and the ways in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants believers rizq, or sustenance, which is in line with what is best for them. In today's episode, we will explore how it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intervenes in our lives, providing this rizq, and how He is in control of everything, even with free will at play. In yesterday's episode, we mentioned a verse repeated in the Quran 10 times, and that is that He expands and limits the rizq for whomever He likes, however He pleases. يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. In this verse, and others like it, we see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expresses that He is the one in ultimate control of everything. This concept can sometimes become difficult for many of us to understand when we take into consideration free will, another foundational belief that we have, especially when it comes to the fact that we will all be held accountable one day. But the question arises that if we are choosing whatever it is that we do in this world from our own free will, then how is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take credit and say that He is planning and orchestrating everything, providing us a risk even in times where it seems like it's coming from somebody else who's exercising free will? In order to explain this concept, we are going to take a closer look at the story of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. Although the story of Prophet Musa alayhi salam is mentioned many times throughout the Quran, the most detailed account occurs in this chapter, Surah Taha, from verses 9 to 98. The way in which the story is told is rather beautiful, with a beautiful literary technique telling us the story of Prophet Musa alayhi salam through God's perspective and His eyes. The verses begin by telling us that when Prophet Musa alayhi salam enters the sacred valley of Tuwa, he speaks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and of course we know Prophet Musa alayhi salam is famously known as Kalimullah, or the one who spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here, he receives the message of prophethood along with two miracles to take back to the people of Fir'aun. But while Prophet Musa alayhi salam is speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he supplicates with the famous dua that almost every khatib begins with, رَبِّ شْرَحْلِ صَدْرِي وَيَسِرْ لِي أَمْرِي. And he also asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Harun alayhi salam, his brother, as a support for him. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks back to him and responds to him, and tells him that his request has been granted, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on a tangent. And he reminds Prophet Musa alayhi salam of all of the blessings of Prophet Musa's past, but he tells it through his, i.e. the divine's perspective. He mentions what he did to help Prophet Musa alayhi salam throughout his life. This perspective of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as he tells the story of Prophet Musa alayhi salam to Prophet Musa alayhi salam and the various ways in which he protected Prophet Musa alayhi salam is astounding, and it gives us a practical way of looking at the story of free will and God's planning together in action. Let's look at some of the verses below.
إذ أوحينا إلى أمك ما يوحى أن اقذفيه في التابوت فاقذفيه في اليم فليلقه اليم بالساحل يأخذه عدو لي وعدو له وألقيت عليك محبة مني ولتصنع على عيني إذ تمشي أختك فتقول هل أدلكم على من يكفله فرجعناك إلى أمك كي تقر عينها ولا تحزن وقتلت نفسا فنجيناك من الغم وفتناك فتونا فلبثت سنين في أهل مدين ثم جئت على قدر يا موسى واصطنعتك لنفسي.
He said, Moses, your request has been granted. Certainly we have done you a favor another time. When we revealed to your mother whatever was to be revealed, put him in the casket and cast it into the river. Then the river will cast it on the bank, and he shall be picked up by an enemy of mine and an enemy of his. And I made you endearing, and that you may be reared under my watchful eyes. When your sister walked up to Pharaoh's palace, saying, Shall I show you someone who will take care of him? Then we restored you to your mother that she might not grieve and be comforted. Then you accidentally slew a soul in defense, whereupon we delivered you from anguish, and we tried you with various ordeals. Then you stayed for several years among the people of Midian. Then you turned up as ordained, O Musa, and I chose you for myself. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to Musa alayhi salam in this passage, He says that when Prophet Musa alayhi salam was a child, it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who ensured his safety. First, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a divine inspiration to the mother of Prophet Musa alayhi salam to put him into a casket and to cast him into the river. And of course, we all know the story of what plays out and how the wife of Fir'aun, Asiya alayhi salam, picked him up at the bank of the river. Here, we see the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Prophet Musa's mother, but also the fact that Prophet Musa's mother, from her own free will, did it, and then that Fir'aun and Asiya pick up Musa alayhi salam and choose to save him, also from their own free will. We start to see how both the free will of people and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's planning are at play together. How is it that the Nile took Prophet Musa alayhi salam right where he needed to go, right where people would find him at the right time in order to ensure his safety? How did he not drown? And then the verse says something really interesting. It says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Prophet Musa alayhi salam endearing. وَأَلَقَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ مَحَبَّةً مِنِّي. Cast upon you a love from me. Literally what this means is that he threw onto Musa a type of love. In the commentaries, some Mufassirin discuss this phenomenon and say that when people saw Prophet Musa alayhi salam as a child and as a baby, they fell in love with him. First, the midwife who helped Prophet Musa alayhi salam's mother give birth, she was working for Fir'aun, and she didn't reveal the birth of Prophet Musa alayhi salam to Fir'aun's soldiers because she felt this love for him. And then even Asiya and Fir'aun himself, it was this cuteness or this nature of Prophet Musa alayhi salam that was a part of his salvation, causing people to fall in love with him when they saw him. Again, here we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan and how it doesn't contradict free will, but rather works with free will. And we see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only created the variables, but he uses what he knows of how people would act with their own free will in the story to orchestrate a certain outcome. He desired what he wanted and he planned. And so we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes credit for all of this, and he even takes credit for this free will. At the end of the day, our free will is, after all, reliant on the Lord who granted it to us. It is not of our own accord. We cannot choose not to have free will. We are given it. The verses then go on to show how Prophet Musa alayhi salam was reunited with his mother and sister after being separated. And many of us will know the story of how, as a baby, he wouldn't accept milk from any of the wet nurses. And his sister, who was watching over him, seeing the opportunity here, proposed that they try her mother, and as such, Prophet Musa alayhi salam was secretly reunited with his birth mother, who was incredibly stressed, and in this way, we see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it. He says that he restores Musa alayhi salam to her, so that his mother would not grieve, and that her eyes would be comforted. At that, we can see that the planning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his control over the affairs of the world is such that all variables and factors are under his control. Like whose milk Prophet Musa alayhis salam would have drunk from, like the weather, like who our parents will be, the laws that govern this existence, like the laws of physics and other matters. These are all precise measurements that are under the control and under the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other hand, we as humans, we do have our free will, where we choose to do something or not to do something. And this in turn is also something that is under Allah's control in the sense that He provides us with this free will. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees something, He decrees the existence of these variables and these factors at a certain time and place without canceling free will, but just knowing what we'll do with free will. Another example of how we can see this at play in the story of Prophet Musa alayhi salam is when he's near Mount Sinai with his family. We see that Prophet Musa alayhi salam was walking to get some firewood when he saw a fire lit in a tree and he walks towards it with his own free will. Here we can see again how the variables were perfectly set up in a way that Prophet Musa alayhi salam came to this spot via his own free will. The analogy of divine decree and human will is similar to a human being who is able to lift one of his legs from the ground but cannot lift both of them from the ground at the same time. These stories in the Quran serve a great purpose as we witness them through the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. In a powerful way, we can see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's planning and our free will work together and come to life seamlessly in the story of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, as it does every day in our lives. As you go through the various passages and stories of the Quran, the beautiful and inspiring qisas in which there are so many lessons to think of, consider this point. How do these stories teach us about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How do they teach us about concepts of destiny, free will, and God's intricate planning? And as another question, if you were to retell a story of your life from the perspective of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how would He tell it differently than you would?
Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.